Good morning, church. Our first Bible reading comes from John chapter 14, verse 23 until 27. It will be found on page 927 in our church Bible. Jesus replied, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you, I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid."
If you just turn the page now to chapter 15, verse 26. When the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. And you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. All this I have told you so that you will not fall away. They will put you out of the synagogue. In fact, the time is coming when anyone who kills you will think they are offering a service to God. They will do such things because they have not known the Father or me. I have told you this so that when their time comes, you will remember that I warned you about them. I did not tell you this from the beginning because I was with you, but now I am going to him who sent me. None of you asks me, "Where are you going?" Rather, you are filled with grief because I have said these things. But very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I am going away. And as I go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because people do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father where you can see me no longer. And about judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks, Ian. Welcome, church. My name is Andrew. I'm one of the pastors here. It's great to have you. And we have been looking at what's been called one of the most complicated things humans can get their head around, but one of the most beautiful. It is the Trinity. We've looked at God the Father. We've looked at God the Son. And today we look at the member of the Trinity that is often forgotten, but he is so important. God, the Holy Spirit. He is God. The Holy Spirit is God. He is to be worshipped, adored, obeyed. And if you're a Christian here today, you already have the Holy Spirit. It's not like there's two classes of Christians. The Christians that have the Holy Spirit, and the other Christians, the poor Christians that have got to level up, get a bit of the top up and get the Spirit in them. No, if you're a Christian, if you trust Jesus, you have the Holy Spirit. But even though we already have the Holy Spirit, what we need is more of his work in our lives. That makes sense? It's been said that we have all of the Holy Spirit, but does the Holy Spirit have all of us? We've got the Spirit, but we want to see the Spirit more at work in our life, in our church, and in our world. Isn't that true? J.C. Ryle, he wrote this in the 1800s. I love this quote. He said, "Pray daily for a great outpouring of the Spirit on the church and on the world. This is the great need of the day. It's the thing we need more than money, machinery, and men. We need more of the presence of the Holy Spirit, more in the pulpit, and more in the congregation. Where he is, there will be life, health, growth, and fruitfulness. Where he is not, all will be dead, tame, formal, sleepy, and cold." I don't know about you, but I don't want to be part of a religion which is dead, tame, formal, sleepy, and cold. And the reason the Christian faith is not like that is because of the power of the Holy Spirit. There's so much we could say about why we need the Spirit to be at work in our lives. I pick four things. Here's four ways you and I need the Holy Spirit to be at work in our life, to be at work in our church, to be at work in our world. Four ways. Number one is this. We need his help. We need his help. The Holy Spirit is God's divine helper, the help you and I need every day. Listen to what Jesus says in John 14. This is verse 16. It's on the screen. Jesus says, "I'll ask the Father, and he'll give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I'll not leave you as orphans. I will come to you." This is Jesus speaking to his disciples before he's going to die on the cross, rise again from the dead, and ascend to heaven. And he's assuring them, saying, "I'm not going to leave you as an orphan. I'm not going to abandon you. I'm going to be with you. I'm going to come to you. I'm going to help you." And the way he's going to do that is by giving his Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God's personal presence in your life. That's why the Spirit is always described in the Bible as a he. You notice that? His personal pronouns are he, him. He is not an it. He's a person. God personally with you. And that's why Jesus says it's for their good that he's going to leave. Because it's only when he leaves and goes to the Father that he can send his Spirit. You see, think about it. If Jesus was still here on earth, he could only be in one place at one time. So imagine if the place Jesus was Herring Road, Macquarie Park. And that's the only place people could meet with Jesus. Can you imagine the billion Christians around the world booking flights, getting on buses, trying to come here to hear from Jesus, to meet with him? Imagine the chaos. But Jesus has gone to be with the Father. He's given his Spirit, which means he's present with every Christian around the world. Everyone can come to him for help. Everyone can experience his personal presence. It's a wonderful thing of assurance that he is in you. So Jesus says, "I'm coming to be with you in the person of the Holy Spirit." And he describes that Spirit as the advocate. You see it there in verse 16. It comes up a bunch of times in John. It's a translation of a Greek word called paraclete, and there's no real one word you can use in English to describe it, to translate it. I think that's just because the Spirit is so amazing. It's hard to pick one word. Some of your Bibles might have the word advocate, like our church Bibles. Someone who pleads your case on your behalf. Some of your Bibles might have the word counselor. Not a therapist, but someone who comforts you in your time of need. Other Bibles have the word comforter. Beautiful picture that you can walk into the worst situations of your life, and God is with you, comforting you. You know, a relationship might be falling apart. You might be in the middle of a panic attack. You might be at the end of your strength. And yet he's with you. He's comforting you. I'm just going to use the word helper, the translation helper. That's what the Spirit is. He is God's helper. Helping you live for Jesus in the highs and lows of life. And he's the helper that will never leave you. That's what it says there. He'll be with you forever. This past week, Christine and I rewatched the first Lord of the Rings film. It's been remastered in 4K. You've got to go and see it if you haven't seen it. It's very good. And there's that scene where Frodo's getting on the boat and Sam chases him and says, "I'm coming with you. I'm coming with you. I made a promise, Mr. Frodo. I'll never leave you." And of course, when I read this passage this week, it reminded me of that. That the Holy Spirit, God's promise, he's always going to be with us, always going to help us, never going to leave us. What a beautiful thing. You can pray to God and ask and enjoy his presence wherever you are, whatever you're going through. That's the first one. We need his help. That's why we need the Spirit in our lives. We need his help. Number two is this. We need the Spirit because we need his teaching. We need his teaching. I wonder if you've ever thought about the Holy Spirit as a teacher. Because that's what he is. He is God's divine teacher. John chapter 14, verse 26. Jesus says, "But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I've said to you." What does the Holy Spirit do? He teaches us and he reminds us. That's the Holy Spirit's ministry. He is a teacher. He is a reminder. Now, the Holy Spirit can teach us in many ways, but the main way he does is through the Bible. I hope you know that when you open the Bible, when you read the scriptures, it's a spiritual experience. God's Holy Spirit is at work. You might have heard the caricature before that, you know, there's the Christians that are really into the Bible and they go to churches that really love the Bible, and then there's the Christians that are really into the Holy Spirit. As though you got to pick. No. You can't pick. Because we are Christians of both the Word and the Spirit. When we open the Scriptures, we are hearing God speak through the Holy Spirit. It is a spiritual experience. John Stott, he wrote this, "The Word of God is the Spirit's sword. The Spirit without the Word is weaponless. The Word without the Spirit is powerless." The Spirit without the Word is weaponless. The Word without the Spirit is powerless. God's Holy Spirit is teaching us as we read the Scriptures. I take it that's why in John 14, 26, he's talking to the disciples. He's saying the Spirit's going to remind them of everything because they were the people that would go on to write the Gospels. Parts of the New Testament. And God's Spirit was empowering them to remember all that Jesus said. So what does he teach us? What does the Spirit teach us? Well, he loves to teach. Here's one topic he loves to teach. It's all about Jesus. The Holy Spirit loves to make much of God the Son. John chapter 16, verse 14. Jesus says, "The Holy Spirit will glorify me, because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you." Most years we take the kids to Vivid, which we really enjoy, even though it's getting more and more crowded. It's a bit hit and miss these days. But you go there to Vivid, and the point is that you focus on the lights. That's what it's all about. And so, you know, sometimes you go to those, buildings that are lit up with different colors and patterns, and you're almost not focusing on the building. You're just looking at the lights and all the patterns that are being made. That's different to when you go to the theater. When you go to the theater, there's lights, spotlights on the actors, the performers. But you're not sitting there in the crowd going, "Oh, well, what great lighting. I wonder what the lighting desk is. I wonder how they've lit up." What, you know, you're focusing on the performers. You're watching them sing. You're watching them act. Those lights are illuminating the performance. And that's what the Holy Spirit's like. He doesn't want us to focus on him, like the lights at Vivid. He wants us to focus on Jesus. His ministry is to glorify Jesus, to make much of Jesus. And some Christians, you know, you can fall into two errors. You can forget all about the Holy Spirit, or you can go the other extreme and be so focused on the Holy Spirit that you forget that the Holy Spirit actually just wants everyone to glorify Jesus. That's his ministry. If you've ever gone through an experience in your life as a Christian where you've loved Jesus more, where you've understood who he is, where you've been convicted by his words, that's the Spirit. He's at work in your life. In fact, the only reason you're a Christian is because of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit softened your heart, showed you what Jesus did on the cross, applied what Jesus accomplished at the cross into your life. That's why it says in 1 Corinthians 12, no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. So do you pray, "Holy Spirit, show me Jesus"? As you come to church, "Holy Spirit, show me more about Christ"? You're opening the Bible on the bus to work. "Holy Spirit, help me understand what you're saying here." You're feeling tempted by sin. "Holy Spirit, help me to remember how wonderful Jesus is and what he's done for me at the cross." That's what the Spirit loves to do. The Spirit of truth, showing us where truth can be found in Christ. Number three, we need the Spirit's transformation. We need the Spirit's transformation. When I get time to read, I enjoy reading self-help books. I like reading leadership books, books on productivity, you know, those kinds of books from successful people that are telling you their tips about how you can be like them. You know those books? I enjoy them. They're inspiring. But if you've ever read them, often you feel a bit defeated because you're reading it and you're going, "I don't think I can do that. I don't think I can do that." This week I was reading about the CEO of Apple, Tim Cook. He wakes up every morning at 4 a.m., replies to all his emails. "I have trouble doing that by close of business, let alone 4 a.m. At 5 a.m., he works out for an hour. At 6 a.m., he has this incredibly healthy breakfast. I don't know how he has time to make it. He probably pays people, but anyway. 6 p.m., he goes for a hike. 7 p.m., he unwinds. And I'm reading this, and I'm thinking, I'm a slob. What have I done? It's 7 a.m., what have I done? Sometimes, as Christians, if all we ever hear is people telling us, be like Jesus, do what Jesus did, copy him, walk in his steps, if that's all we hear, it's just empty legalism. Do this, do that, be like him. And we feel defeated because we can't match up. We're not Jesus. What we need is transformation. What we need is a new heart to enable us to follow him. So that it's not be like Jesus, but it's I've given you the spirit of power in your life to change your heart and to help you be like him. You see the difference? William Temple, the old English bishop, he wrote this. It's no use giving me a play like King Lear or Hamlet and telling me to write plays like that. Shakespeare could do it. I can't. And it's no use giving me the life of Jesus and telling me to live a life like that. Jesus could do it. I can't. But if the genius of Shakespeare could come and live in me, then I could write plays like that. And if the Spirit of Jesus could come and live in me, then I could live a life like that. See what he's saying? We can follow Jesus. We can live his ways, not in our own strength, but because we have his Spirit. In Ezekiel, there are prophecies about when God would send his Spirit and give people a new heart. That's happened if you're a Christian. You have a new heart. And God, day by day, is transforming you, making you more like Jesus. Romans 8 says that we put our sin to death in the power of the Spirit. So as we seek to stop sinning and living for Christ, we do that in the power of the Holy Spirit. You might have heard the fruit of the Spirit. There's a list of them in Galatians 5. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control. That's not the only fruit. There's lots of other fruit. That's the fruit that the Holy Spirit wants to bring in your life. He's in your heart and he's transforming you. He's changing you so that you can obey him. So that you can live for him. So we must wake up in the morning and pray, Holy Spirit, bring forth fruit in my life today. Holy Spirit, transform me. I've got all of you. Have all of me. Well, we need his help. Number two, we need his teaching. Number three, we need his transformation. And lastly, we need the Holy Spirit's power. We need the Holy Spirit's power. The New Testament says that the same power that rose Jesus from the dead lives in you. Isn't that incredible? The same power that rose Jesus from the dead is in you. Not for you to use for your own ends, but for you to use to love and serve God and others. We have the Spirit of power to help us proclaim Jesus. In Acts chapter 1, Jesus says this to his disciples, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be my witnesses." And you look at the story of Acts, and it starts, you know, with this scared little group of disciples. And they get the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, and sure enough, they start sharing Jesus. And the church multiplies and more people are converted. and the church movement spreads around the world. And they're even facing deep persecution. And yet they keep sharing, they keep on mission. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. He empowered them to share Christ. And that power is there for us today. We're inviting a friend to Alpha, inviting a friend to church, telling them what we did in the weekend. And the Holy Spirit will give us courage and boldness. He'll open doors. He'll give us strength. Charles Spurgeon, on the way up to preach to the pulpit, as he walked up to the pulpit, he would mutter under his breath three times, "I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe in the Holy Spirit." He's reminding himself that as he prepares to preach, he's not doing it in his own strength, but the Spirit's going to be at work. And as we go out to share Jesus, we are not alone. His power is with us. So it's a power to proclaim, but it's also a power to serve. There's passages in the New Testament which talk about the spiritual gifts. The Holy Spirit gives gifts to every Christian. There's no Christian here today. No one here who can go, "Oh, looks like the Spirit missed me." You've got a gift, probably multiple. The Spirit pours out gifts on His people. It might be the gift of opening your home, the gift of leadership, the gift of administration, the gift of stewarding money and using it well, the gift of speaking in tongues, or the gift of music, or the gift, the list goes on. And those gifts are from God's Spirit, His powerful Spirit, so that we can serve at church and serve the world. Power to proclaim, power to serve. Do you see how much we need the Holy Spirit? Our helper, who is always with us. We are never alone. Our teacher, showing us Christ, showing us our sin and our need for a Savior. Our transformer, who is changing us day by day to be more like Jesus, and our power as we share Jesus, as we live for Him, as we serve at church, we have Him with us. I wasn't going to do this, but I'm going to finish with a hymn that I love about the Holy Spirit. The breath of life, God's breath. This is just the first verse. It's a prayer, really. O breath of life, come sweeping through us. Revive your church with life and power. O breath of life, come cleanse, renew us, and fit your church to meet this hour. O breath of life, come breathe within, renewing thought and will and heart. Come love of Christ, afresh to win. Revive your church in every part. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, breath of life, come and revive your church this morning with your life and your power. Come change us, cleanse us, renew us. Come give us power to serve you and to serve your church. We thank you that you will never leave us, that you are with us. We pray day by day you keep showing us more about Jesus. Keep helping us more and more to live for Him. Lord, as we sing now, We ask that your Holy Spirit will be ministering into our souls, teaching us, showing us Christ, reminding us of your goodness, and preparing us for great works of service. We long to see more of the work of your Spirit in our lives, in our church, and in our world. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.